Are we just social workers? I don't think so. Absolutely not, in fact. The book of Hebrews says that the religious rituals that we perform are just a shadow of the reality in the heavenly places. That we pray, that we study scriptures, that we do all these things is important. It helps us pay attention to what's really important. We're commanded to do these things. We need them, but they are not always the total point. Jesus' brother James, in his letter, or the book of James, says that religion that our God and Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Well, James is just keying off of what was written in the law and the prophets and the writings. This is from the prophets. The prophet Micah writes this: "With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God?" Now, this is under the law. "Shall I come before him with burnt offerings and calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams and with 10,000 rivers of olive oil?" And you didn't just buy it at the store in those days either. You had to pick the olives and you had to put them in a mill and make it yourself. He goes on, "Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul?" All those things are commanded by God that they should do. But they are rendered meaningless by ignoring poverty and justice, and injustice rather. We could substitute in there this question: "Shall I come before him with my baptism, the fact that I partake in communion? Shall I come before him with my praying, my Bible studying, my tithing, my fellowship, my sharing of the gospel?" What does the verse say at the end? "He has shown you, he has told you, O man, O woman, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justice, to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. So do I abandon my spiritual disciplines and beliefs and just do helping people work? Absolutely not." He says, walk humbly with your God. That's part of the package. No, we're not abandoning those things. We're filling them up. We're filling up our prayers. We're filling up our Bible study. We're filling up our fellowship, our sharing, our everything with meaning when we participate, when we are doing what is right and what is good. So here's a new standard to think about. One that I think about a lot and I'm trying to live by. It's simple. If God cares about something, and how do I know whether God cares about something or not? I've been walking with him for half a century and I've been reading this book for half a century. I'm starting to get a couple of clues, maybe, about what he cares about. If God cares about something, then I should care about it. If he's compassionate about something, then I should be compassionate about it. Now here's the harder bit, the other side of the coin that makes the first part harder. If God doesn't care about something, then I shouldn't care about it either. Ooh. Well, I got a lot of stuff I care about because I want things the way they ought to be. I want to be able to tell certain people certain things and have it go a certain way. What if God doesn't care about that? Then I'm wasting all my time worrying about stuff that he doesn't care about, and pretty soon I'm not paying attention to what he cares about. He cares about widows and orphans and people who need our help. So, some questions from our vitality pathway that we're on, that we're talking about. Our congregational, how is our spiritual life doing? some questions. Are we transforming communities through compassion, mercy, and justice? Are we burdened for the hurting people in our community and beyond? Do we have identifiable pathways for compassion, mercy, and justice? In other words, have we got venues, ways to do that actually, for those ministries to take place? Are our people, are we equipped and growing in our ability to see and identify and address the hurts and causes, the causes of hurt in our community and beyond? Looking out for the poor and the downtrodden has always been a central piece of sharing the gospel. Even at the critical crossroads of Paul, newly converted, and being brought to Jerusalem to meet James, John, and Peter, those pillars of the community. Galatians 2, Paul says this, James, Cephas, that is Peter, and John, those esteemed as pillars, gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship when they recognized the grace given to me. They agreed that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the Jews. So this is a huge, huge milestone in the church and going forward of the sharing of the gospel. Paul and you guys are going to go do ministry to the Gentiles, whom most Jewish people don't even think should hear such a great thing. Why would God care about them? But we now know that God really loves them, and we're going to go to the Jews. And here's the kicker. All they asked, James, Peter, and John, was that we should continue to remember the poor, the very thing that I had been eager to do all along. So at that milestone place in theology and in missions, don't forget the poor. It's a central part of what you do in the sharing of this gospel. Whether you're going to Jews, whether you're going to Gentiles, remember those people. Well, I've been yabbering for a while now. I'd like to have Stanley Kolazar come up and share with us. I've asked him to share a story this morning. He spent 4 years doing medical missions in India.
Well, good morning. Thanks, Leon, for having me share a few stories. I was just thinking of the categories of short stories I wanted to share. Actually, a long time ago, I was not in India, I was in Boston. And
Close,
yeah. Yeah. They're like on the same globe, you know? So I was sharing the gospel with this guy who was an immigrant from Mexico. And he had a name tag on, and his name was Angel Pagan. Kind of confusing, you know? Are you an angel? Are you a pagan? Who are you? And he said, this is my brother's name tag. I'm borrowing it. So didn't know really who he was. Any case, I'm sharing the gospel with him, and his language was pretty rough. I don't know any Spanish. His English was rough. And when I get to the punchline, do you want to receive Jesus? He says, yes. And then he starts to cry. And I'm like, he doesn't get it. You know, people don't cry about the gospel. It should be joyful. And so I'm asking him, does he understand it? He says, yes. And so the story comes out that he was on his way back from the doctor. He's had this headache for 2 weeks, and it was the worst headache he'd ever had, and the doctor said he couldn't do anything else to help him. And he was on his way home to go commit suicide. The moment I shared with him the gospel and he received Jesus, his headache was gone instantly. Now, this was after the fact that I knew about this. He didn't ask for prayer for his headache or anything. It was God stepping in. I didn't heal him. God did. So praise God for this immigrant coming to know Jesus. Another quick story was in India. And it was actually my team leader, Ron. You guys met him a few weeks, maybe a month ago. He came in dressed up with, you know, a turban and all that and shared some stories about sheep. So Ron was driving down the road in India, and there was a pile of clothes in the middle of the road. Now, India is a country that has lots of trash problems, so I wouldn't really have thought twice about it. He looked at it closely and saw that there was a person in this pile of clothes, and he stopped, and it was a woman Now, in India, there's really big cultural laws between men and women interacting. He broke the law. He picked her up and said, get off the road. She said, no, I don't want to. I'm here to die. And long story short, she's been plagued with demons for a number of years. And again, we're working with Muslims in India. There's a huge divide between Muslims and Hindus. She comes from a Hindu background. So he actually put her in his car, took her to his house, and gave her to his wife and said, help her, clean her up. And she was there for a week, which was a big deal. In the week, they loved on her. They shared the gospel with her. They showed her the Jesus film in Hindi, and she watched it like, I don't know, four or five times, and was just mesmerized by the love of Jesus and by the love of this crazy family who's reaching Muslims and then reaching Hindus and claims that they're Christians. So she didn't understand it. All she knew is that she wanted Jesus' love, and it changed her life. So praise God for her. Jesus coming to the downtrodden. And lastly, this is a story that you can remember. If you're ever in jail, you can help those who are in tough situations. A friend of mine in India, he was working in Saudi Arabia trying to get some money. And his boss paid him in cash every week. He went to jail. Went to the bank and put the money in the bank. Well, one week they came and threw the handcuffs on him and said, this is counterfeit. You're going to jail. So he ends up in jail, and they said, you've got 7 days to present your case. At the end, we're going to take justice into our hands, meaning life is going to be over for him if he didn't have a solution. So he was sharing a cell with this guy from Bangladesh, Bangladesh being a Muslim country, and my friend was a Muslim. And this Bangladeshi, though, he was a former Muslim. He was following Jesus. He said, hey, man, this is unjust. What's going on? I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to fast until God intervenes. This guy prayed and fasted for him for 7 days. And then there was a knock on the jail door, and he said to my friend, you're free to go. So he said, praise God. I've never seen this kind of compassion, never amongst anybody, you know, for certainly not amongst righteous religious Muslims, the people I hang out with. He went back to India, and he said, I need to find these followers of Jesus and figure out what they believe. And he did. And that changed his life. So praise God. Justice, mercy, compassion is at work in the world.
Thank you. All right. Those are great examples of how they mix together. We're doing all the above in both. Let me just review in closing some of the things that we're doing as a church, some of the ministry venues that we have currently available for these kinds of ministries, and then leave you with a question or two. We have a deacon's fund. In fact, there's a little manila envelope in front of you that's should be stamped. This says deacon's fund on it. We collect those up. You can put them in the offering box if you want to make a contribution to that. But we have a fund that we use for helping people within our body and then people outside the body as well. We have a food pantry right here in the building, and you're welcome to contribute to that or take from it if you need it as well. We're involved with a group called Teague. They're located in Thompson, and they do food distribution, and we have a regular set of times that we go and help them do food distribution, some from their facility, some over at St. Mary's in Putnam once a month when the Connecticut Food Bank truck comes. They raise some big gardens there at the Teague place. We participate during the summer months helping with the children's school lunch program that replaces the school lunch that kids don't get in the summer, but you know, I don't know why they would have food in the summer when they didn't in the winter. We're also involved, a number of us, Gene Doyen right now specifically, with Caring Families, Crisis Pregnancy Center. Those are all people right on the edge of a lot of trouble in their life and looking for answers. We're closely involved in ministries in Haiti, reaching further out into our hemisphere here with John Eklund. And he has brought and introduced to us Pastor Kelly Augustine, who runs an orphanage and a school for kids, and we contribute a lot to that. We're closely involved with the Fulani people in Burkina Faso. Sent quite a bit of grain to them this last year. And we got to meet Pastor Ailey Bondi from there as well. A young Timothy or Apostle Paul even perhaps in the making. We have many missionaries that we support. Some the Rydbergs in South America doing water projects for tribes, tribal places and villages, getting them their own sources of water. Some African agricultural projects, raising new kinds of products that will grow well there. The Gallants, who are with us here, are seeking to adopt two siblings out of Burundi. So there are a bunch of different things going on and ways to help. But each of us has to seek a way to make compassion and justice a strong, permanent feature in our Serve My World commitment. If you're committed to serving your world, and that's something, that's a commitment we make as a congregation, this has to be a big element of it. And it's not just adding more stuff to do, another box to check off, but it's really praying and seeking. What do the 8 to 15 people in my world really need in this life? That's a place to start with that. How will God make the world better through me this week? So how can we as a congregation of the local church engage the downtrodden around us in a serious way? I'm not going to answer this today. I'm going to leave you with some questions. But how do I know if what I'm doing is more than just ticking off a box? I would suggest a couple of questions in closing here. Is this costing me anything? Or more specifically, is this forcing me to change my lifestyle on behalf of those who have greater need than I do? That's a hard one. That is a hard one, and that is what I believe. It's been keeping me up at nights. I think Jesus is face to face with us with that question. What are you doing about the people around you? People that you actually know. They're in trouble. They're not always the smartest and brightest people. They're not always people that did the best thing for themselves. But we're there because God sent us. Compassion and justice. Let's pray. Father in heaven, the world is a very real place in so many ways, and the reality around us is pain and hurt, and Lord, it's easy to be overwhelmed by it. So we ask that you would allow us to not be overwhelmed by it, but to look as a group and as individuals, as you lay things on our hearts, to say, we could do something about that. We could fix that injustice. Or we want to be part of this thing that's going on in this country or that country. Thank you for the things that are happening. Lord, deepen our awareness of this element of our own spiritual health as a congregation. Lord Jesus, this is what you came for. You healed so many people. You fed so many people. You didn't just come to provide food and healing. You wanted us to pay attention to who you really are and what's going on in this world, but it's part of it. Lord, show us this in the days to come. We ask it for your sake. Amen.